Right, we'll start with the Mishnah at the bottom of Kuf Dalei Amud Bet. The Mishnah says, if you say, Mida b'chevel, ani mocher lecha. So now, Mida b'chevel is a lashon of exactitude, right? And then he says, hein chaser, hein yeter. It's a lashon of a kind, you know, kind of estimated. So we saw before in the previous Mishnah, right, if you used chevel, it meant that you couldn't deviate from the stated measurement, right, an iota. Whereas if you use hein chaser, hein yeter, you had some sort of error rate that you were allowed within the measurements. So here he uses both. He says, mida b'chevel ani mocher lecha, hein chaser, hein yeter. So the Mishnah says, batel hein chaser, hein yeter, mida b'chevel. The lashon of hein chaser, hein yeter overcomes or overpowers the lashon of chevel, and therefore it will dictate that you have the right or you have this error rate allowed. If, on the other hand, he says, hein chaser, hein yeter, mida b'chevel, and the other way around, where he puts the hein chaser, hein yeter, right, the estimated number first, and then he puts the exact, the lashon of exactitude afterwards, then batel mida b'chevel, hein chaser, hein yeter. The mida b'chevel overruns chaser v'yeter, divrei benanas. This is the position of benanas, which basically proposes a shita of tfos lashon achron, which is that we go after the final language. Whatever he says at the end, that's what dictates what he means to say. And generally, when we look at tfos lashon rishon, tfos lashon achron here, say that the second lashon comes and he's changed his mind. He made it, he was trying to do something, and then within a toch de dibur, he changed his mind. And he changed his mind, we're going to say tfos lashon achron. Therefore, we're going to say, take whatever he says last, and that's what's going to dictate the terms of the transaction. So in the first case, where he said, hein chaser, hein yeter last, that's what dictates the terms, that'll be, the error rate will be allowed. And in the second case, where mida b'chevel was the second term, that will dictate, because that was the last thing he said, and therefore you'll have to give an exact accounting of the field that he sold. Now, I'm sorry?
Can you just
read it? Oh, parse it? Sure, yeah. Mida b'chevel ani mocher lecha, hein chaser, hein yeter. That's the statement. Then, batel hein chaser hein yeter mida b'chevel. That's the conclusion. That the hein chaser hein yeter overrides the word chevel. Right? Then, next statement. Hein chaser hein yeter mida b'chevel. That's the statement of the mocher. Then the din of that is batel mida b'chevel hein chaser hein yeter. Or that the mida b'chevel overrides the hein chaser hein yeter. Alright, now. Amar Rabbi Ava bar Mamel, Amar Rav. Cholkim alav chaveirav al ben nanas. Right, that Benanas says that his friends, meaning that the other Talmud Chachamim or Tanaim of that period, argue on him, disagree with the Benanas' conclusion. So, Micah Mashmalan, what's the what do you gain from this? So, Tanino, right? We already have it. We know this from other places already, which is Maseh B'Tzipori. It's the case in Tzipori, Be'echad Shesachar Merchatz Michavero, person who rented a bathhouse from his friend, B'Shneimasar Zuvim L'Shana. 12 Zuhu Zahav, you know, coins, 12 Zahav coins for the year. Dinar Zahav L'Chodesh. A dinar Zahav per month. So now, what's the problem? The problem is that it happened to be a leap year. So then, when it came out to be a leap year, if you express, right, the transaction in terms of a yearly rate, then the yearly rate benefits the socher, the renter. The renter gets the benefit because he pays the yearly rate no matter what the year is, whether it's 12 months or 13 months. On the other hand, if you state a monthly rate, that's the benefit of the maskir. That means you pay monthly. If they're 13 months, you're going to have to pay for 13 months in the year. So here he used both lashonot. He said, then he said, dinar zav l'chodesh. Obama said, "Lifnei Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Lifnei Rabbi Yossi." So this question came before them. Ramru yachloku the chodesh ayibor. They split it. The maskir and the socher split the difference. So now, from there, right, so now they said yachloku at the chodesh ayibor. They're going to split the socher and maskir will split the value. Now, why? Why are they going to split over here? Because they have a safek. They have a safek. They don't know whether. The two possibilities of why he said his second statement. One possibility is that he wants to be okay, like tfos lashon achron, that you said before, Tzvi, that anybody who wants to correct what they said in the first statement. So that's one possibility, is that he's trying to correct his first statement. The other possibility is that he wants to explain his first statement or give more tokif to his first statement. He says, listen, the yearly rate is 12 per year, but that you have to pay monthly, and you're due, even though it's a yearly rate, you have to pay on a monthly basis. But that doesn't mean that there's a monthly rate. Right? There's a possibility of both, that it's either being mefarish, or that he's actually changing his mind. So they're not sure, or they have a safeg here, between Tfos Lashon Rishon or Tfos Lashon Achron, which one is the one that he really meant to keep over here. So on that basis, they conclude, Yachloku, they will split it. Now this comes back about Yachloku, and about whether the loch is like Sumchus or not. The Rishbam, Toshitato, says that the loch is like Sumchus, and therefore they're holding like Sumchus, that's why Yachloku. Tosus believes that it's not, the loch is not like Sumchus. And the splitting over here is Afshita's Rabbanan, because even the Rabbanan agree in certain cases where the Safik, right, is Nolad in a certain way, and the certain type of Safik that they agree Yachloku. So now you have, clearly, that there are Tanaim who disagree with Ben Anas' conclusion. According to Ben Anas, the conclusion over here, or the solution over here, would have been fine. It would have been easy. According to Ben Anas, the answer would have been that it goes all to the benefit of the Maskir, because the second statement was that you pay a monthly rate. But here you see that there are other Tanaim who say, no, that you split it. So of course there are people who argue on Ben Anas. We have an explicit case here in Maaseh B'Tzipori where we have Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel and Rabbi Yossi arguing on Ben Anas. So what is Rabbi Abba Bar Mamma in the name of Rav telling us that there are people who argue on him? We know that already. So where it says, Ima Hatam, had it been from that case in Maaseh B'Tzipori by the Merchat, Hava Amina, Hatam Hu the Ika LeMeimar, over there you could say, Mihadar Kahadar Bey. There he's going back. He's trying to change what he said. Or you could say that he's explaining his first statement. So we don't know if he's explicating on his first statement or he's reversing his first statement. In our case, in the Mishnah here, the Vaday Kahadar Bey, because they are Tarte de Satre. Meaning that in the case of the Mishnah and Merchatz, you could explain the possibility that the second statement is not necessarily okay, the first statement. Right, it could be that it's just explaining the first statement. Whereas in our case, in the Mishnah, it's clearly Mida Bechevel and Hein Cheser Hein Yoter are impossible to reconcile. One is a measurement of exactitude, or one is a stipulation of exactitude, and the other one is a stipulation of estimation, meaning that there is a room for error. So maybe that would be the case here. Same hello. So maybe over here, excuse me. Maybe over here you would not say it. Kamash Milan, then even over here, his friends argue on him. That means even over here, the Tanaim would argue on Ben Anas' conclusion. So that even in cases where we have a Tarte Satre, it's impossible to reconcile, right, between the two statements. Nevertheless, they still argue on Ben Anas. And they still say that there is a Safek. And if there's a Safek over here, right, we'll say Yachloku, if that's the case. Right, so now the Gemara says, okay, that's why it was necessary for Rav to come and tell us that in this unique case, it's also the case. So therefore, the conclusion is, they still are cholek over here. Because the answer is, why are they arguing on Ben Anas in the case of Merchatz? So our Hava Mina was that the reasoning of the Tanaim by Merchatz was that they had a safek. We had a safek when he made the second statement. Was he mehader? He was reversing his statement. Or perushi kamefarish? He was explaining his statement. And over here, that logic's not applicable to our Mishnah. Because over here, it's clearly not perushi kamefarish. It's clearly mehader. It's clearly reversing his position because they're contradictory. The answer is no. That the case of Merchatz, the reason they have a safek is because their safek is about whether tfos lashon rishon or tfos lashon achron. It's not about whether perushi kamefarish or right, mehader, but rather he's reversing his position, but rather simply about any statement that a person makes. Do we say tfos lashon rishon, or do we say tfos lashon achron? So there, since they have a safek in that, that safek has an application over here as well. Because here, it doesn't matter whether they're soter or not, it's all about whether we say tfos lashon rishon or tfos lashon achron, and the safek that applies to Merchatz will equally apply over here by our Mishnah. So that's the conclusion of the first statement of the Gemara. Now, I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So now this is not a statement of Rav, but rather Shmuel. Zu Dibrei Ben Anas. This is the opinion of Ben Anas, of a Chamim Omrim. The Chamim say, Aleich Achar Pachot Shebelashonot. You go after the least of the languages over here. So now, Lashon, meaning Pachot, you have two parties. You have a buyer, and you have a seller. Or you have a renter, right, and a landlord. So when you say it goes after the least of Lashonot, who are we benefiting over here? So the answer is that we benefit the Muchzak. And who's the Muchzak? For instance, in the case of the Merchatz, the one who owns, right, the Merchatz. So since he owns the Merchatz, he's the one who is Muchzak in the Karka. Since he's Muchzak in the Karka, he gets the upper hand. So since he gets the upper hand over here, we're going to say, go after Pachot Shebe Lashonot. Meaning, whichever one gives him the better outcome, that's the Lashon that we're going to be to face. Because he's the Muchzak, and a Motzim Mechaber Olav Araya. So in that instance, we'll say, he gets the benefit of the doubt, and it always goes in his favor. So Gemara says, Zu Velo Svirele. So it sounds like when Shmuel makes such a statement that Zu means this is true, but he doesn't hold of it. Meaning that this is the opinion of Ben Anas, and I don't hold of it. I'll tell you who I hold of. I hold like the Chachamim. That's the indications from the statement of Shmuel. Gemara says, Veha Rabu Shmuel Damrei Tavayu. Rabbi Shmuel have a position when it comes kur b'shloshim ani mocher lecha, right? So when he says that I am selling you a kur b'shloshim, a kur for 30 selah, then yachol lachzor bo afilu b'sa'achrona, you can reverse or back out of the transaction until the final sa'ah. Kur b'shloshim, a kur for 30 sa'ah b'selah, and then he adds an additional statement of sa'ah b'selah, that each sa'ah is a selah ani mocher lecha rishon rishon kana. Right, that each one, each sa'ah that is measured out is konen. So it sounds like Shmuel holds that we do hold of Tavos Lashon Achron. Because over here in the case where he said sa'ah b'sela, even after he said kor b'shloshim, we allow the transaction to go through by saying sa'ah b'sela. Meaning that you have two lashonot. You have a lashon of kor b'shloshim. Kor b'shloshim gets you up till the final sa'ah, you can reverse yourself. If you simply say sa'ah b'sela, each sa'ah is done as soon as you measured it out. But now he put both lashonot. He said kor b'shloshim and then sa'ah b'sela. And what do you see? Shmuel says. Shmuel over there says that we say, like Rav Shmuel and Rav both say, tvos lashon achron, it sounds like. Go after the last lashon over here because it said sa'ah b'sela. Therefore, rishon rishon kana. So therefore you took. So it sounds like Shmuel holds like Ben Anas, that it is tvos lashon achron. So now what are you going to suggest? And this, you're going to say zu visvirle. That it means, the Lashon of Zu means that he holds a Ben Anas. This is the position of Ben Anas, and I hold of it. And, you know, the Chachamim say something else. So that's what you're going to say? Yes? Well, we have another statement of Shmuel. Did Shmuel really hold this? So this is what Shaul was asking before. About, wait a minute, back in the Gemara in Baba Metzia, the Gemara actually comes up with different solutions as to why it is that we say that they're Yachloku over here. So Shmuel's solution to why they're Yachloku is when they came in the middle of the month. When they came in the middle of the month, Aval Bab Tzchilat Tachodesh, had he come at the beginning of the month, Kulo LeMaskir, then it would all belong to the Maskir. B'Sof HaChodesh, Kulo LeSocher. Comes at the end of the month, it comes all the way to the Socher. Why? It's a basic premise of a Motzi Mechavero Levaraya. When you come in the middle of the month, or let's start the other way, if you come in the beginning of the month, who is the one who is the one who has the property? It's the maskir. It's the maskir's property. He's the one who chose to rent it out. So now if you're going to ask me whether he has to pay the chodesh yibur or not, the answer is yes, because he's the one of mukzak badavar, motzi mechaver lavaraya, the renter pay or leave. That's your choice. If he comes at the end of the month, he's already taken the service out, right? The service is done.
He's lived there for the month.
Right, they lived there for the month. Now the obligation is on the, right, maskir to prove that he owes him money for that month. So if the obligation is on the maskir to prove that he owes him money, he can't do that. Since he can't do that, the socher does not have to pay for the month. The other possibility, and that's our possibility of here, is where he comes in the middle of the month. When he comes in the middle of the month, then 15 days worth he's chayav for, right? Meaning that 15 days worth the socher is already used up. But the other 15 days, right, the maskir is muchzak in the property and he can demand. So that's the case of Yachloku. The case of Yachloku, according to Shmuel, is defined by when you show up in the month. Now, if that's the case, well, how can you say that Shmuel holds Tfos Lashon Achron? If Shmuel would definitively say Tfos Lashon Achron, it should not matter. Why does he set it up in a crazy case if they came in the middle of the month? It has nothing to do with coming in the middle of the month. It all has to do with Tfos Lashon Achron, which means whatever he said last. Whatever he said last is what defines. So if he said a monthly rate last, that'll be what determines, and therefore the socher will be, or the rental will be chayav. If he said the full year rate last, then it would matter. Then it would go in favor of the socher, and the socher would not have to pay that 13 month. It would go in favor. The maskir would be out the money. So why is Shmuel come up with this case of that in the middle of the chodesh? Why is that his solution to this case in Baba Metzia? Now the case in Baba Metzia is the case of Merchatz that we discussed before, the case of the bathhouse. So why does he come up with the solution that's in the middle of the month? It must be that he holds that there is a safek over here. And because of that safek, that's what's driving Shmuel to say, I put it in the middle of the month. If I put it in the middle of the month, then the safek goes both ways. So it goes in both directions. So as they say, midumugila. So the fact that Shmuel establishes it b'emza chodesh, that must mean that he is real ehochi, that he holds like this. Because otherwise, why would he make such a convoluted explanation? We could either explain that it's the beginning of the chodesh or the end of the chodesh, like Rav and Rav Nachman. Rav and Nachman are the alternate explanations. Shmuel was asking about those. Shmuel gives the explanation it was the middle of the month. Rav and Rav Nachman argue whether it was the beginning of the month or the end of the month, and each one of them has the sheet of thumb. So there are other explanations of that case in Ma'aseh Echad Betzipori. There are other explanations. Why did Shmuel go out of his way to say it's the case of Emsa B'Chodesh? The fact that he did that shows that he's actually stuck, or he's stuck with some sort of safek. He believes that there is a safek here, and if there is a safek, whether it's Tfos L'Shon Rishon or Tfos L'Acharon, therefore we go after Chazakah. Right, so if that's the case, the Gemara says, "Elolam zu velo sfirle." Now it must be that Shmuel holds right that Rabbi Nanas holds Tfos L'Shon Acharon, but that's not his position. His position is that I have a safek. I don't know if it's Tfos L'Shon Rishon, but I don't know if it's Tfos L'Shon Acharon. So therefore, we go after the Chazakah. So in the case of the Echad B'Tzipori, we can understand that. This is a fake. We go after the Chazakah. When you're talking about the time that he has not lived there yet, the Chazakah falls to the favor of the Maskir, to the landlord, because he owns the property. Once he's lived there already, and he would be Chayav to pay the rent, and he hasn't paid it yet, then the Chazakah lays with the Socher, with the renter, because he's already utilized the service, he owes the money, and the Maskir will have to prove it. Now, what's the problem with that? What's the problem with that explanation of Shmuel? Because what does he do with the case of Sa'ah? Why in the case of Sa'ah does he say that you go after Tfos L'Shon Achron? There it says, Rav Shmuel V'Amrei Tarvayu, you go after Sa'ah B'Sela. Even though he said Korbish L'Shim, and then he said Sa'ah B'Sela, you go after Sa'ah B'Sela. That doesn't sound like a safek to me. That sounds like, right, go after the Tfos L'Shon Achron. So that's what the Gemara has to explain over here. V'hatam Taima, what's the reason over here? My Mishom the Tafis. Right, what's the reasoning over there is because of Tofis. So what's the reasoning by Merchatz? What's the reasoning by Merchatz that he says that the Chazakah goes based on, let's say, the middle of the month, part of the Socher, part of the Maskir? Because whoever is Tofes, whoever's holding the key, who holds, I mean, not literally the key, but who holds the key to this situation, if he has yet to live there, then the one who's tofes in it is the maskir. The landlord owns the property. It's his property. So he's the one who's tofes. He's the one holding it. On the other hand, when it comes to right the time already used by the socher, who's tofes in it? The socher, because he utilized the property, used up whatever it was that he was entitled to. So therefore, he's tofes. The one who has to get the money out of him now is the maskir. The landlord's got to get the money out of him. Then he's the motzi mechavero. So by the case of, that's easier because why? That's karka. Land is always the default, is tafos, or the tafis, right? The one who's tafis in the property is the one who owns the property, right? The only one who is not tafis, the only time we say he's not tafis is if he already utilized it and now he wants to pay money. But otherwise, the underlying assumption is that whoever owns the property, right, is tafis in it. That's not true by metaltalin. By metaltalin, the one who's tafis in it, right, is the one who holds it, the one who has it. So over here, we have a case where you have a safek. Safek is Korbish Loshim versus Sa'ah B'Sela. Korbish Loshim would say you wait until the end. Sa'ah B'Sela says you go Sela by Sela. Now, I'm measuring out Sela at a time. Sa'ah. I'm measuring out Sa'ah at a time. I measure out each Sa'ah. Who's holding the Sa'ah at that point? The buyer. The buyer has the Sa'ah in his hand. He's the one who's still facing it. If he's the one still facing it, then we can say that's the one who's tofes. If he's the one tofes, the mocher's got it, wants to get it back, or he wants to say, oh, I can reverse the transaction until the end. No go, because he's holding it. So the difference over here will be that the fact that, the difference over here is exactly that point of the tfisa. Tfisa b'matatulim happens as soon as you're holding it. So as soon as you're holding it, you're tofes.
So in other words, if he would have said, korv shloshim ani mafer lecha.
Oh, very good. So that is, right, that makes a difference. Because of that, the tfisa, that means that it doesn't matter which way you say it. The safek exists no matter which way you say the lashon. Just to conclude, just make sure that we have it all together, is that Shmuel now does not hold like bananas, does not hold the tfos lashon achron. And now we have to reconcile all the braitot, we have to reconcile our Mishnah. So as far as the braita is concerned by Merachatz, Shmuel explains it's a case of Emsa Chodesh. It's Emsa Chodesh, that's why Yechloku, because then you have both parties being tofos on a tofes part of the one who is tofes the karka, which is the maskir, the other one who used or utilized it and owes money, so he is the one who's tofes in the first half. That's why it's Yechloku. They'll split it. He'll have to pay for the second half if he wants to stay. He won't have to pay for the first half because he already stayed there. So that'll be the explanation of that brisa. The explanation of the brisa as far as Sa B'Sel and Korbish Loshim will be that it's all Safek. We just don't know which Lashon is tofes. If we don't know which Lashon is tofes, then we're going to say according to Shmuel, it's a Safek. If it's a Safek, after who's tofus in it, alright? Or the one who is holding it, who's holding it? The one who has Metatum in his hands. So as soon as you start measuring out, he's automatically the one who's tofes in it. Our Mishnah, what are you going to do with the Mishnah? That's bananas. I don't have to agree with the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that you go after the last Lashon. I don't agree with that. The Chachamim would disagree and say that it would be a Safek. In this case of our Mishnah, that would be a Safek, and it would be a Mosi B'Chaber L'Varaya. That's the case. Who's Mukhzak in the property? That's the Chachamim. We go after Pachot Shebelashonot, which is that the owner owns the property, and therefore it'll go to his favor. Whichever way goes his favor, that will be the Lashon that is to face over here. So that'll be explanation of Shmuel. The question, and this is somewhat of what Cha'ol raised before, which is that you really could explain Shmuel holds like bananas. And that's the little bit of the problem over here is that you could explain Shmuel that Tfos Lashon Achron. Because Shmuel's position could simply be Tfos Lashon Achron or Achron. That Shmuel believes that only when it is Perushei Kamefarish, only when is he doing an when you can't say, or we don't know, it's unable to determine whether it's Perushei Kamefarish or Mehader Mehaderle, or he's reversing his position. Right? So in that case, then we say that this is Safek. Otherwise, we say, Tfos Lashon Achron. So if based on that, you could explain, right, that the case in the Merchatz, the reason there's a Safek there is because we just don't know if he's Perushei Kamefarish or he's Kamehader. But when it comes over here, by the case where he's completely Kamehader Bey, then when he's completely going back on his position, or it's clear that he's coming back on his position, then Tfos Lashon Achron. Right? And then we'll say that he takes on the Lashon, which would be the case. And this is what Shaul was explaining before. That in the case where he says, Korbish Lashim, Sab Sela, right, that it's clear that he's reversed his position. There's nothing that he could say about Sab Sela that is modifying Korbish Lashim. All he's now is saying is that you will get a Sab Sela. I mean, the other way around, the other possibility, which is what Shaul suggests, is that Sab Sela, if you said that first, then Korbish Lashim, that means that that rate only applies when you buy Korbish Lashim. So there you could say Perushei Mekafarish. But in the other way around, you can't say Perushei Kamefarish. It must be Mahaderle. So maybe Shmuel would agree, and Tfos Lashon Achron. So that's both Tosos raises the issue, and the Rashbam raises the issue. Why did the Gemara say the Olam Zu below Svirle? Why does the Gemara automatically conclude that Shmuel's position is that it's a Safek, and he does not hold like Benanas? Let's say no. He holds like Benanas, and we can explain that his Safek is not a Safek of whether Tfos Lashon Mishon, Tfos Lashon Achron. His Safek is not simply about which language do we go after, but rather whether it's Perushei Kamefarish or Kamehader. Whether he's explaining it, or he's reversing his position. So in cases where there's a Safek, like the case of Merchatz, then we say, Safek, can't do anything about it. In cases where there is no Safek, it's clear Mehader, in those cases you'll agree to Benaz and say Tfos Lashachronon. So they both raise the issue and they both say no. Why not? So one of the reasons is that the statement of Shmuel, Zu Velo Svirle, the term that is used by Shmuel when he says, Zu Divrei Benanas, that type of Lashon, when it's used in that manner, is generally an exclusionary term. I don't hold like it. Now, even though the Gemara was Dochak, try to push Shmuel in there before and say, no, it doesn't mean Zu Vis Virle. Nevertheless, the Lashon in general, when it's used throughout Jas, means Zu Velos Virle. You would not frame it in the way of Zu and Chavei Rav Chokin Alev. That type of Lashon is an indication that I do not hold of this person. So that's the first reason that they give. Number two is we're going to have in a second the position of Rav. Right? And Rav is one who says clearly, right, that it's Mehader, Bey, and Lav Kamefarish and Kamefarish. And we never say that Shmuel holds like Rav. We're gonna see that Rav and Shmuel explain the case of Merchatz differently. And if Shmuel really held like Rav, right, or we're gonna see a second the position of Rav, then we should have said, right, why doesn't Shmuel explain the case of Merchatz just like Rav does? The fact that he doesn't is also indicative of the fact that Shmuel does not hold of Tfos, Lashon Acharon. The third proof, which is Shaul's statement, That he holds that the Mishnah Merchatz is the din of Rabbanan, because the Baal Chachamim Amru, and that's where he wants to go, that he thinks that that Mishnah is read after the Chachamim. So for those three reasons, the Rishbam and Tosfos here conclude that the Gemara did not go the direction of Tfos Lashon Achron, but rather with the Safek of Tfos Lashon Rishon, Tfos Lashon Achron, and it's not his Safek, is not Kamahad there versus Kamefarish. Now, the Gemara says, okay, what about Rav? Amar Rav Hunamar, Amre Be Rav, in the Bismetsh Rav, they say, Istara Me'amoy. If a person offers something to sell, he sells it for an Isar, 100 Ma'ah. Then Me'amoy, he has to go after 100 Ma'ot. Me'amoy, if he says 100 Ma'ot, Istara, or a coin, the Isar coin, Istara, then he pays with an Istara. It's my Kamash Malan. What does that teach us? Tfosh Lashon Achron, that you go after the last Lashon. Over here, when he makes a statement of Isar, I'm going to explain it all in a second, what's the difference between the two of them. If he says Isar versus 100, then we go with 100, which is the second Lashon. If he says 100 and then Isar, we go with the Lashon of Isar. So you see from that statement of Rav that it's Tfosh Lashon Achron. That's where we go. We have to go after the last Lashon. What is the difference between Me'amai and Isar? So that comes down to an Isar is a Sela Medina. An Isar is a Sela of that's used, the normal seller that's used, the coinage that was used at the time. Now we know that a seller medina is 1/8 of a seller tsuri. Right? It's 1/8 of a seller tsuri. A seller tsuri is equal to 4 dinar. Right? It's 4 dinar. So now if you want to look at what's the seller, what's the worth of a seller medina, it's worth a half a dinar. Half a dinar of tsuri. Because if a sela tsuri is worth 4 dinar, right, and a sela medina is 1/8 of a sela tsuri, so again, a dinar is 1/4 of a sela tsuri, a sela medina is 1/8 of a sela tsuri, therefore, a sela medina is 1/2 of a dinar. So now, what is a half? Now the question is, what's a half a dinar? Right, so what's the value of a half a dinar? So a dinar is worth 6 ma'ah. A ma'ah is worth 2 pundion. A pundion is worth 2 isar. And I'll go through the math with you in a second. And an isar is worth 8 prutot. So if I do the math now, we can go through this. If you take a dinar is 6 ma'ah. 6 ma'ah times 2 for the pundion, it makes it 12 pundion. Times 2 for the isar makes it 24 isar. So it's 24 isar. But we're only talking about chatzi dinar. A chatzi dinar would be 12, right? It would end equal, if you were talking about chatzi, right, isar over here, chatzi dinar, then you would only get 12 isar. 12 isar is equal to, each isar is 8 prutot, it's 8 times 12. 8 times 12 is 96 prutot. So the answer is that if you say isar, isar, which is a sela medina, is equal to 96 prutot. On the other hand, Me'amai is 100 prutot. So when he makes a statement, they're contradicting. Because he's saying Isar or Me'amai, that Isar is 96 versus 100. So therefore, Rav comes along and says, Tfos Lashon Achron. When he says 96, then 100, we go after 100. When he says 100, then 96, we go after 96. That's the conclusion. So now Gemara says, Hamra Rav Achadazimna. Rav already told us that din. Amar Rav, Iyavai Hatam, Avyehine Kule Lamaskir. If I was there, what does it mean I was there? If I was there by the case of the Merchatz, I would have given it all to the Maskir. Why would he give it all to the Maskir? What was the Lashon? It said 12 Zehuvim for a year, Zahav, right? The Chodesh. So what was the Lashon Achron? What's the Lashon Achron over there? It's a monthly rate. So therefore he says I would have given it all to the Maskir. Why? Because the second Lashon, the Tvos Lashon Achron is, the second rate says it's a monthly rate. If it's a monthly rate, that goes to whom? The landlord gets the benefit. At a monthly rate, when it's 13 months, he gets it the 13-month rate. So he says, even at the end of the month, I would have given it all to the maskir, because the Tfos Lashon Achron. So now I have two statements, right, from Rav that indicate Tfos Lashon Achron, that we go after the last Lashon. So again, that's, by the way, the proof that Shmuel doesn't hold Tfos Lashon Achron, because he doesn't hold like Rav over here. He says it's the middle of the month. If he wanted to hold like Rav and say Tfos Lashon Achron, he would say it was the end of the month. So now, what do we have? We have Rav who makes two statements. Once, by a contradiction between 96 and 100, he says Tfos Lashon Achron. And he also says by a case of Merchatz, where you have a case of One statement is a yearly rate, the other one's a monthly rate, and we go to post lashon hara, go after the monthly rate. So now Gemara says, what are we going to do? Mal detema. What way to have thought? Perushei kamefarish. That he was perushei kamefarish, kamash malon, that it's not the case. Now what does it mean, perushei kamefarish? Which case are you referring to? So this happens to be a three-way machlokas here about what the perushei kamefarish is going on. One possibility, right, is the case of merchatz. Mal detema. I would have thought the avamina by merchatz is perushei kamefarish. That's he's explaining it. Kamash malon, that's not the case. The other possibility is, Perushei kamefarish means by the case of the money. By the case of the money, Perushei kamefarish. Kamash malon, then no, because the case of merchatz is clear that it's not Perushei kamefarish. Right? And then, the last possibility is, both of those cases are Perushei kamefarish. Right? And, we still have a third case, right, which is the case of the Savasela. Yeah, the case of Tekor v'Shloshim Savasela, over there, Rav also says, Savasela. So what about there? So now we have three cases by the cases of Rav, and maybe the possibility is that these two are both of Perushei kamefarish. And then we have the third case, which tells us Tfos Lashon Achron. So which one is it? So it happens to be that the Rashi in Baba Metzia says that when the Gemara, and but the truth is that the Gemara in Baba Metzia is worded the opposite way around. That which case the Gemara brings first and last is different, and therefore it sounds much more like Rashi's chat in the Gemara in Baba Metzia. The Gemara in Baba Metzia says Perushei kamefarish is the case of the Istara and Me'amoy. And Rashi says that's the answer. What's the Perushei kamefarish? He says that in the case of Istara, you would have said, he's saying to him, Istara Me'amoy means, give me a big Istar. Give me a big coin that's worth 100 prutot. Don't give me one of those regular coins that only gets to 96. Give me the big one that gets to 100. Or the other way around, where he says, Me'amai Istara, saying, give me 100 prutot, but 100 bad prutot, that only equal up to a Istara, only equal up to a coin that is 96, that's really worth 96. So give me 100 that are worth 96. Give me 100 bad coins that equal 96, or give me a good coin that equals 100. That's the way Rashi explains the case in Baba Metzia. There he says, that's Perushei kamefarish. Correct. He says that he reconciles between the two coins, and then he says, that's Perushei kamefarish. Kamash lon, the case in the Merchatz, which is, Tfos Lashon Hara, he says, goes all to the Maskir. That's the way Rashi explains it. The Rashbam disagrees with Rashi and says the opposite way around. Rashbam says, no. The Perushei kamefarish is the case in Merchatz. That's the easy one. There is no contradiction. The fact that he said a coin per month is Perushei kamefarish. Over there, it's easy to explain a Perushei kamefarish. So in the case there, we would say Perushei kamefarish. Then comes along the case by the coins and says to you, oh, here's a case of contradiction. So no longer can say, right, you can no longer say Perushei kamefarish. Over there, Rav says, Tfos Lashon Achron. There's no safek over here. Right? There's no safek in this case, and therefore he says, Tfos Lashon Achron. By the case of Merchatz, you could have had a safek. Safek could be whether Tfos Lashon Rishon, Tfos Lashon Achron, or it could be safek, a Perushei kamefarish, or a kamahader. Over there, exactly. So before we explained that it meant the monthly rate that he explained afterwards, that it means that you pay monthly. Instead of paying at the end of the year, you pay monthly. But now he's explaining, no, maybe Perushei kamefarish means that you pay monthly, means that you pay a monthly rate, and that's the...
Every month
you're going to pay, even when they're 13 months. So that's Perushei kamefarish. So therefore, we don't know anything about Rav's position. So over here, all of a sudden, we have a case where it's soter. Case of soter, he can't say Perushei kamefarish anymore, so now he has to take a position. He takes a position, Tfos Lashon Achron. That's the Rashbam's explanation. Then comes along the Ri and says, you know, listen, both of them can be Perushei kamefarish. Both of them we can explain it, Perushei kamefarish. One like Rashi, one like the Rashbam. And truth is, the Gemara here sounds more like the Rashbam, and the Gemara of Matzina sounds more like Rashi. So he says, so then what do we do? So the Tosis comes along and says, you know what, there are actually numerous cases here, and we need each one of them. So if you look on the Tosis on the top of the Kuf Vav and Aleph, it's right at the last wide line on that Tosis. But he says, Itzri kol tlat milei de Rav. Now we need all three statements of Rav. We can say the case of Istara, the case of the money is like Rashi, which means Perushei kamefarish. Mumehai the maskir, and the case of Merchatz, Namilo Shmi and Tfos Lashon Achron. There we don't know Tfos Lashon Achron either. Tika the main Prushe Kamefarish, Kaperish Kuntris. Kaperish Kuntris here means the Rashbam. Over here, Omishum the Sover Kirav Nachman. Or because he was like Rav from Achman, the Karka Bechezre Balea Kaima, that always. That it's always Bechezre Balea, even if you lived there already, it's always Bechezre Balea. Right? So that's the other possibility why Rav holds that it's the Tfos Lashon Achron there. So Hilkach, it's Trich. So what do we need the third case? The third case is Korbish Lashimsa Besela, the Rishon Rishon Kana. So therefore, it's what? Each one, right, you get, he says you go after Sa'a B'Sewa. Mar says, wait a minute. The Tos says, V'imahi yavamina mishum tafis afilu apik meipach t'moshmuel. I thought, wait a minute. Maybe it's not, his Lashon's not exact over there. Maybe his Lashon's not exact. Why? Because he says, Tfos Lashon Achron by the case of Sa'a B'Sewa. But maybe the reason he says, Tfos Lashon Achron over there is because it's called min the tafis. Whoever's holding it gets the upper hand. And maybe like Shmuel says you can reverse the Lashon, and it would still work the exact same way. According to Shmuel, if you flip the Lashon by Korbi Shloshim and Sa'a B'Sewa, you get the same outcome. So why don't we say Shmuel, maybe Rav holds like that. If you just had the case of Sa'a B'Sewa, that wouldn't work. So the Hachi Yitzri Kulu. Therefore we need the other two cases of Merchatz and Yitzri to show you that he doesn't. It matters which way you say it. It matters which way you say it. If it matters which way you say it, then he'll expose Lashon Achron. So between the three cases, now we can explain Rav. Each of the cases has a weakness that if you just had that case, you would explain Rav as being either Perushe Kemafaresh, or you can explain Rav by the case of Sabasel like Shmuel, that we have a Safek of, right, which Lashon he's using, Tfos Lashon, Lashon Achron, and therefore it wouldn't matter which direction. Therefore, all three of them together make you a picture that it's Tfos Lashon Achron for Rav. Now, once he did that, he also says the same thing by Shmuel. There are also these three cases by Shmuel. And therefore, Tosu says that you need all three cases to explain the position of Shmuel. So Tosu also says, Yitzrich, Nami, Shlosha Mila, the Shmuel. Now we need all three positions of Shmuel. Damai, the Oki, Shmuel, Baba, Emsa, Chodesh. The fact that he said, that's because of the Chodesh, Amina, Kedadochi, Lael, Rabbi Ava. We could say in the book, Rabbi Ava, the Kabrushe Kamifarish. It's a case of Kabrushe Kamifarish. And the way we explained Kabrushe Kamifarish in the original statement wasn't that it meant that you get a monthly rate, but rather that you have to pay monthly, that you're due, even though it's a yearly rate, you have to pay on a monthly basis. But that doesn't mean that there's a monthly rate, right? You could explain like Rabbi Abba that way. And then Shmuel, we won't know anything about Shmuel. Now, the Olam, B'Alma Tfos Lashon Achron, but generally he would hold Tfos Lashon Achron. By the Rishon Kana, what about the case by Rabbi Shmuel, that Amrei Tarvayu by Kurbish Loshim Rishon Kana? Habamim Rishon Tfos Lashon Achronu. Over there we could have thought Shmuel held Tfos Lashon Achron like Rav. And therefore, if you just had that case, we'd say Tfos Lashon Achron. Kamo, the Rav. So therefore we need the last name in Shmuel of Achachamim Omrim, Halach Achar Pachot Shub Lashonot. Go after the Pachot Shub Lashonot. That teaches that Shmuel believes that there is a Safek. So therefore, if it's a Safek, now we can go back to Emsa Chodesh. Right? And we go back to Emsa Chodesh, that teaches us what? That when we go like Divrei Chachamim, that means Emsa Chodesh is not like Benanas, not like a case of Lashon Achron. If it's not like Lashon Achron, that means that Shmuel has a Safek. Shmuel has a Safek, right? Then also by the case of Emsa Chodesh, he's dealing with a Safek. Sa'a B'Sewa, which now he says, go after the last one because there is whoever is Tafis. You know, it's a Safek and whoever is Tafis by it. And therefore it will not make a difference which way you say it. And over here, in our case of the Mishnah, he can't hold like Benanas. Because thinks it's a safek. If it's a safek, then we go after whoever is mukhzak badavar. We don't go after Lashon Achron. It won't matter which way the Lashon is said. It'll matter who is mukhzak badavar. And that's why you can't hold like Madnanas in our Mishnah over here. So therefore, the conclusion by Shmuel, you have the three statements of Shmuel. One is the statement by Merchatz. That we could have been a safek, whether it was Perushe Kamefaresh or Kamader. We don't know which way he holds. Right? It could be simply Perushe Kamefaresh means, but if in a case where you can't say Perushe Kamefaresh, he says Tfos Lashon Achron, right, that would be the case of the Sa'a B'Sewa, right, would be Tfos Lashon Achron like Rav. So we'd say no. So no. Why? Because we have our case here in the Mishnah, which Rav Shmuel says, Zu Divrei Benanas, and I can't hold like Benanas. I hold like the Chachamim. Why can't he hold like Benanas? Because Nanas says over here, Tfos Lashon Achron. If he can't hold Tfos Lashon Achron, that means that he holds it's a Safek. If he holds a Safek, the reasoning by the case of the Sa'a B'Sewa is not because Tfos Lashon Achron, but rather Safek and as to who's Tofes. If it's who's Tofes, go back to the case of Merchatz, who's Tofes will matter. Only time you can say Yechloku is if Memsa Chodesh. So that will explain the Shita of Shmuel. Okay, we'll stop over there.